This is the Edinburgh Reporter podcast, and this morning, Friday morning, here we are in Ian Murray's constituency office on Minto Street. Good morning, Ian.
Morning, how are you?
Well, I'm fine, but I was. It seems like only a minute ago I was watching you on the TV being interviewed on College Green on the BBC, probably, and here you are, back already. How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a week. Yes, you would have seen me on BBC News at 1 o'clock yesterday. I had a little bit of a fallout with BBC News actually, because I was supposed to be on at 12:30, and because it was 10 to 1 I had to get to City Airport for a 2:30 flight back to Scotland for the Anarchal Proprietors Association meeting. So I went from TV to the airport to a Residents Association meeting last night, and then to my constituency party, and then here this morning to do my advice sessions, and I'm hot-footing it back to the airport early this evening for the People's Vote March tomorrow in London with a million of my colleagues.
That's how many you're expecting, wow.
Well, we hope so.
Do you think that, well, we may as well talk about Brexit first, I think. How do you think the week's gone, apart from telling you all that it was all your fault? How do you think Theresa May's feeling this morning?
I mean, Theresa May's essentially just snatched defeat from the jaws of victory, because I think she was probably getting quite close to getting those magic numbers that she needs to get a deal through, and she's just blown it. And one of the people who was working with her to try and see if they could come to a compromise on the deal was Lisa Nandy, the Labour MP for Wigan, who'd had an amendment drafted that might have been able to pull enough people across. All this broke while you might have seen Lisa Nandy on the Peston programme on ITV, and it broke at the same time, and Lisa Nandy says, well, I'm out. If she wants to blame MPs, this is the Prime Minister's own making. She's made a hash of it since the start. She's refused to talk to anyone and reach out. She's been fighting with her own party, pandering to the extremities of her own party, trying to settle a 40-year feud through Brexit, and it's just a disaster.
So if this is all about the Tories, though, you know, other people on the other side, we better give this some balance, Ian, you know. Other people have said that Jeremy Corbyn really hasn't made a very good fist of leading an opposition against it.
Well, I mean, I subscribe to that view to a certain degree, but I also think you have to put into the context of where the Labour Party across the country sits, and it's a bit more pronounced in Scotland because we see all the media through the eyes of a Scottish context. So the SNP are obviously very anti-Brexit. I'm very anti-Brexit. I started the People's Vote campaign last April with colleagues, and you know, the SNP came onto that in November, and we're all on the same page of that. But I mean, to be slightly fair to Jeremy, he's balancing many more competing challenges
within his own
within
party,
his own party and within the country, because the party is split. And I've always said this, and this is the same with any other issues the Labour Party have had. The country's split 50-50. Parliament split 50-50. So why should the Labour Party, who tries to reflect the country, not be split? It would be quite strange if it wasn't split.
Well, it would be strange if everybody had the same view.
So my criticism of Jeremy is I think he should have taken a much more principled stand sooner. I do think he's been a little bit... he's not been clear enough in terms of... unequivocally supporting the Labour Party conference motion, which is a public vote with the option to remain. However, as you know, Keir Starmer, who's responsible for this policy, says it time and time and time again. So I can see why Jeremy's trying to find a way through it. I don't think he's necessarily had the best tactics. But the bottom line of all this, Phyllis, and this is what people need to remember, we don't have the numbers in Parliament. This is a numbers game. This is about parliamentary mathematics. So it's very easy to blame opposition parties of any colour, but unless you've got the maths, you can't really do anything. So you have to try and work through that. And we all have our different views about how you work through it. Jeremy's got his. I disagree with him. I think his tactics have been wrong, but I do fully understand the challenges that he's trying to juggle.
But you don't disagree with him enough, it seems, to join the...
TIGs, the independent group, TIG. Well, I mean, they're all personal friends of mine. You know, Mike Gapes, I shared the Foreign Affairs Committee with. He's a lovely man, been in the Labour Party 53 years. Before he became an MP, he headed up the Labour Party's international unit. He's been a chair of the Foreign Affairs Committee, is the ultimate encyclopedic knowledge of foreign affairs.
Well, Chuka Muno was up here, wasn't he, opening a post office with you in Bransfield a few
right,
years
that,
back,
a
as
few
I
years
recall.
Ago, because I was his shadow minister. He was the shadow secretary of state for BIS in the 2010 to 2015 Parliament, and for 4 years I was one of his shadow ministers in trade. So I worked very closely with Chuka. So these people are friends. Angela Smith led our delegation to the Council of Europe, which I've sat on for the last 18 months.
So why would you not join them?
Well, I mean, I would never say never in terms of, but the Labour Party is my party, it's my home. I do believe, and I think most people believe in the polls show this, that the values of the Labour Party are still the values of the vast majority of people in Scotland. The party is more than one person, this will be temporary, and the public will have their say. And the public are having their say, and ultimately it comes down to whether or not the public want you. And that, for me personally, but also for Jeremy Corbyn and his team.
Yeah.
And the public will decide. Now, if the public want Jeremy Corbyn to be Prime Minister, they'll vote him in, and then that'll be fine. And if they don't want to be Prime Minister, they won't vote him in.
So we've got 7 days left until we were supposed to be leaving the EU. We don't seem to be doing that anymore. This is a minute-by-minute changing landscape, of course. By the time we put this out, it's probably going to have changed again. What do you think is going to happen, though, if Theresa May brings her motion back next week? And the numbers don't look to me as if they stack up.
Well, I mean...
Or would she, will she
numbers,
even be able to bring that back because of the Speaker?
Yeah, she will bring. She will be able to bring it back next week because she'll attach the change in circumstances for the motion will be the change of dates. So that's a material change.
So it is as nuanced as that.
Yeah, it's substantial. Well, it's essentially, she'll argue, it's substantially changed, and I think the Speaker would find that difficult to deny. I don't think it's going to go through for two reasons. One is, I think, as we've just discussed, the Prime Minister has essentially just told all the people who might have lent her a bit of support that they're traitors and not wanted. But also, now that next Friday isn't D-Day, she can no longer hold this across Parliament to say it's her deal or no deal, because actually no deal's never going to happen. And we've known for some time that no deal will happen. Parliament's voted against it, the EU don't want it to happen, the Prime Minister in her heart of hearts and the vast majority of the government doesn't want it to happen, so it won't happen.
So I shouldn't go around the shops stockpiling at this point? Could leave it a week or two?
Yeah, leave it a week or two before you start stockpiling tins and everything else. Toilet paper is the big one. The Prime Minister's had, if you take it from her perspective, she's backed herself into a corner. I genuinely believe she fundamentally believes in this deal, even though nobody else does. And the only tactic she's ever had is to run down the clock and make it a binary choice between her deal and no deal. That's been taken away from her. So now I think Parliament has to come together and find a conclusion to this. And it'll try that next week.
So we've got several dates. We've got the 12th of April, at which point she might not be Prime Minister anymore. The 7th of May, and then we've got the 22nd of May. And then we've got the 30th of June. And then we've got forever, perhaps. Who knows which date they're all going to choose and what's going to happen.
Well, and given there's a selection of dates now, I think by the 12th of April, the government would have to have indicated to the EU that they were going to participate in the EU elections. I just can't for the life of me think that we're going to end up actually participating in those elections. If we go beyond that, I think something will have to be done about current MEPs in the UK just continuing on or whatever, because it just doesn't.
That means Nigel Farage still gets to keep his job.
Well, I mean, that's the irony, isn't it? I mean, Nigel Farage has created all this problem. How he gets the airtime, he doesn't deserve it. So where will we get to next week? I think we're going to try and take control of Parliament again on Wednesday. The crucial thing here, though, is that the legislation has to be changed. By law, we leave next Friday at 11 o'clock.
Yeah. And they can introduce a statutory instrument.
Yeah, statutory instrument can come in, but it has to go through both houses. Mm. So that might be tricky, but, you know, there will be a vast majority in both houses to change the date. What we change the date to is the big debate, and
we
then we'll
have a bet on that now.
Now, the only other way that the Prime Minister's deal might go through is if we let it go through in return for a public vote, which is what the now infamous Kyle Wilson Amendment.
And that would suit you very well.
Would suit me very well, yeah, but it used to be called the Wilson-Kyle Amendment, but Peter Kyle got on the TV first. It's now called the Kelly Wilson Amendment. So that might get us through, but there's no majority at the moment for any option, so we need to try and work on that.
So you've got a very swift Friday back here in Edinburgh. You know, not much time to do anything before you then get back on a plane, because your head must be reeling. What are the political hot potatoes in your constituency at the moment? What are you trying to do?
Well, before I tell you about the political hot potatoes, I'll tell you about what I'm doing today. So I've had an advice session this morning, which was very busy. I'm being locked up at 12 o'clock in there at Lidl Centre, and I have to raise enough bail money to get out. So I'll be in the ball and chain and the stripy uniform. And I blame my colleagues Wes Streeting and Mike Gapes for this, because they started it all. And we're locked up with Ian Duncan Smith, so they're all neighbouring MPs. So I'm being locked up to raise money for their dementia services, which is great. Hopefully I'll get out by 2:15, because I need to go to Tap into IT, which is a brilliant local organisation that teaches elderly people how to work computers and does IT training, which is great. And then I hopefully get to the airport. But the big issues in the constituency at the moment are, well, you know, For individual people, it's immigration and visas and Department of Work and Pensions benefits and those kinds of issues. But the big, the really local issues is about planning and about the future of the local area. So we've got big planning applications just being put in at the moment for Anicull Howden Hall, which is in the Greenbelt, and we've been fighting them for, well, I've been fighting them for 15 years, but they've been going on for 40. The Ashley Ainsley site is just about to come up. We've just finished with the Sick Kids site. So there's a lot of local issues about local services and local funding and really micro stuff.
Time you got back to that then, Ian, and time I let you get on with your day. Thank you very much indeed for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
You can read the full-length version of this story and, of course, all our other stories online at www.theedinburghreporter.co.uk.